Hello, and welcome to Security on the Street with SearchFinancialSecurity.com. I'm Editor Sarah Hurley. This month's topic, mobile banking. This is the extended 27-minute version. For a more condensed version of the conversation, download the abridged 13-minute podcast. Joining me today is Mark Kadrich. Mark is the CEO and Chief Evangelist at the Security Consortium. His strengths are in systems-level design, policy generation, endpoint security, and risk management. Mark, a CISSP, is a contributing author to publications such as TCP Unleashed, ISSA Journal, Published Magazine, Planet IT, RSA, CSI, and the Black Hat Briefings. His own book, Endpoint Security, was published in 2007. Mark is also a well-known speaker on network security matters at technical conferences and events. Thank you for joining us today, Mark.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, it sounds a lot better when you say it.
So mobile banking is sure to change the way people bank, similar to the way online banking did. So, Mark, before we dive into our discussion, could you briefly explain how mobile banking is different from securing so-called traditional online banking?
Well, the main difference obviously being the fact that the technology that they're using isn't chained to a desk. People pick it up, they shove it in their pocket. There's multiple platforms that they have to deal with. They can be on a jet, do banking in LA, and in 5 hours be doing banking from the train station in New York. So it creates some real difficulties for the banks trying to use any of their traditional anti-fraud technology, you know, like location, you know. Are you always in L.A. doing these kinds of transactions, or are you all over the planet doing these things?
So to remain competitive, financial institutions must offer some sort of mobile banking to its customers. But with the convenience for the customers, it comes kind of major security issues for the financial firms. What are the network security challenges financial institutions face with mobile banking?
It's fairly diverse. I would say straight off, the major problem that they're going to be combating is the traditional fraud. But if you look at how fraud has been perpetrated over the years, the end result is the same, only the methods that they use are a little different. Dealing with mobile banking, what they're going to have to do is try to understand the multiplicity of the platforms and try and understand what their basic weaknesses are and how that fraud can be perpetrated across those platforms. Because in the end, they're going to have to sit down and chat with their customers about how the fraud occurred and how they were a part of it and how the technology they were using enabled that to happen. And the basic problem is, you know, customers aren't too bright when it comes to understanding how this technology enables people to defraud them. Now, I'm talking about traditional mobile banking customers. You know, I'm not talking about my grandmother. I'm also not talking about the savvy 17 to 25-year-olds who live with this technology taped to their head.
So what are the threats that surround mobile banking at the moment?
Oh, besides the user? Well, part of the problem is that the technology changes at such a frenetic pace that keeping up with it is part of the problem. The development cycles that the banks have to go through just to keep up with the changes in technology and the changes in the platform create some real pressure. They have the same kind of problems that other software houses have, you know, where are the vulnerabilities in their product? How can those vulnerabilities be leveraged and turned into threats? And how can those threats be executed? It's pretty much the same kind of a threat model, but now you've got it spread out over an order of magnitude more manufacturers.
So despite the different kinds of threats, can mobile banking be secured with the same kinds of security technology financial institutions currently use, or is new and different technology needed?
Out of all the questions that we're probably going to talk about, this is probably the toughest question. My hunch is that using traditional software approaches and the technology that they're using today, the answer to that question is no. They're not going to be able to provide significantly more security around these transactions. I believe that they're going to have to develop some new technology, whether it be in the software or whether it be in things like trusted platform modules built into handhelds. Something that allows them to uniquely identify and bind the user to their mobile device in a way that is significantly more reliable than the methods that they're using now. Part of this problem also is the banks don't engage in any kind of real software assurance program. They're built into the same cycle of identify requirements, code, and push out the door that the major software houses are. And until that mindset changes with them, I think they're going to continue to have failures that allow people to take advantage of security holes in these devices. And I don't see this changing anytime soon for the reasons I've outlined. It's like people have these cycles that they have to get through, and they're very competitive. And a software assurance program, although capable of generating much more secure software, does build into it some inherent delays to make sure that flaws don't work their way through the system.
As with most things, technology can only take you so far. There needs to be other changes as well.
No, I think that's pretty intuitive. Look at what happened with Android. Android was introduced into the system, and all of a sudden you have another platform that you had to deal with that until then you were thinking about other platforms. Now you've got a whole brand new one to deal with. It's like somebody just introduced a whole new computer platform besides Linux and Mac and Windows. So that's a pretty significant problem.
So the Financial Services Analyst Group, Celent, estimates that by 2010, upwards of 70% of bank center call volume will come from mobile phones. What issues surround scalability, and how can financial institutions ensure they can handle those issues?
Let me turn that question around a little bit. Let's not forget that a major portion of the Internet users right now use online banking. In 2002 to 2005, the number of users jumped 47%. Okay, that was a scalability issue that they had to deal with then. That's when they brought in people who understood how to deal with large-scale applications and how to deal with load balancing and redundancy. In 2006, over 50% of the Internet users are using online banking. So I think the real threat to scalability for the companies doesn't come so much from the fact that they're using mobile devices as it does come from other countries like China bringing millions of people a month online and dealing with the large number of people, period, that are getting online or converting to online banking. Now, as I said, the banks have some pretty smart people out there, and they are trying to stay ahead of this scalability issue. Ask yourself this question. When was the last time you went to use your online banking account and got a 404 message?
I can't remember.
Yeah. That part they're pretty good at. It's generating the stuff that goes on the other end in the handheld device that's going to be a problem for them. Keeping up with the software updates, keeping up with the different threat models that are going to emerge as we get further into this is going to be harder and harder for them to do. That's the scalability issue that they're going to have.
What's the most overhyped mobile banking threat?
We've seen some proof of concepts. When I was doing research for my book, one of the things I concentrated on was trying to understand what the threat to mobile devices was. And there were some proof of concept exploits out there. There were a couple of small viruses out there. But we didn't see anything that was a device killer, if you will. My biggest problem with handheld devices, and I think this is one of the things that the banks haven't quite gotten a grip on, is the fact that most of these devices now are not just single communications channels. They're actually network bridges. They've got a wireless connection via the cell network. They've got a wireless connection via Wi-Fi. They've got a Bluetooth connection. So what you've done is you've opened up the threat paths that somebody could actually take advantage of. And that's one of the things that I really worry about, is somebody has the ability to identify a vulnerability in a handheld device, take advantage of the fact that they can hop in through the Wi-Fi and then connect to the bank using a cellular network connection. That's kind of what bothers me.
You mentioned earlier customers' naivety about the threats and the dangers. Do customers have an understanding of the most common threats that come with mobile banking?
Most customers can't even spell SSL. They rely on the cell phone companies. They rely on the device manufacturers to provide security to them. They know that there are some issues with their PCs. You know, they got to have antivirus, got to have a firewall. But, you know, it's just a phone. It's a phone. I had this conversation this weekend with somebody, And they were all happy about getting their brand new iPhone, and they were thrilled about the things they could do with it. And I showed them how to do online banking over the web, and they were thrilled with that. And I said, no, you know, don't lose that phone. He said, why? And I said, because there's no way that the bank can tell the difference between that phone and you. And they looked at me and they said, you're kidding. How can they tell the difference any other way? And we went into this big, long explanation about what the differences were between, you know, this mobile handheld device and all the different networks it connects up to and their computer at home that never moves. So in short, no, they don't. I don't think 85% of the people out there using these things have any idea of the issues that they can introduce into their lives.
I'd like to shift the conversation a little to talk about mobile banking programs within financial institutions. What should a secure mobile banking program include?
To me, that mobile banking program looks a lot like a software assurance program where they analyze requirements, they have breakpoints in the development process, they review requirements, they do code reviews, they have checkpoints for testing and outside evaluation. They have a phased approach to dealing with adding features into their program. Maybe you can do certain kinds of transactions that are read-only based on an inferred security profile. That's kind of what it looks like to me, something a lot more structured. When I first started, I started doing online banking with Bank of America, and I was one of their guinea pigs when they were doing this. And they learned from their experience, because essentially I had complete, absolute, and utter control of everything that was going on with my account, and sat down and chatted with them about some of the problems associated with the security of the endpoint itself. Well, it's a lot harder to lose a desktop computer than it is to lose my iPhone. And I think the banks are going to have to look at different transactional levels. You know, if your bank account has more than $10,000 in it, how much of a transaction can you do from a mobile device? It has checks and balances built into it that aren't built into online banking as of today. I can go and transfer $25,000 from one account to another account today without the bank going peep, but should I be able to do that from my handheld device? And my argument would be, no, it should be like a check card, in that there's only so much that I can do with it, because its intent was not to provide complete, unobstructed banking capability. It was there to provide a convenience based on some smaller level of transaction. And I think that's really an issue here. Are the banks trying to set up mobile banking so that you can do all of your banking? I mean, can you buy a $2 million airplane from your handheld device? I'm not sure that I'd want to be able to do that, but do I want to be able to move a couple of thousand dollars around and do those kinds of transactions? Do I want to be able to check my balances on things? Yeah, of course.
So what kinds of policies should be put in place around mobile banking? What should they include? Is customer training part of it as well?
Well, I think I touched on some of the policies that I think should be in place. You know, transactional limits based on the device would be one of them. Having some kind of a software assurance program that validates the functionality of the software that you're using would be another one. I think they should have a policy in place regarding which devices are allowed to engage in online banking transactions based on their threat profiles. Customer training, geez, don't even get me started. As much as I would like to think that that would be part of a program, it would have to be a passive thing. I don't think the banks could get away with any kind of an active program that says, read this and click here and answer these questions to prove you understand what you're doing. I think people at that point would just say, screw this and go to another bank. And besides, anything that relies on a human being to make the right decision to stay secure is doomed from the start. I've seen this so many times where a solution provider relies on the human operator to make the right decision each and every time. And why do you think we've got phishing and farming attacks that are so successful? It's probably not fair to say that users are stupid, But they react in a way that approximates it. They click through things. They ignore stuff. They don't read it. They're in a hurry. After all, why are you using mobile banking? You're in a hurry.
With mobile banking, the customer may be sitting in any part of the world in any time zone. So banks need to ensure that the systems are up and running in a true 24/7 fashion. How can banks ensure reliability?
Well, I think this is a question that the banks have answered over and over again. A lot of the reliability models that we have now were developed in the banking industry. The banks have been using computers since they were powered by rocks and tubes. They understand what it means to have a system go down. I think looking a little deeper at that, the methods that they use have to deal with, you know, redundant network paths, redundant systems, failover systems, the traditional disaster management and business continuity systems that we've been using for years. Once again, keep in mind that a lot of those systems were in fact developed by the banking industry for the banking industry, because long before Microsoft came along, the banks were a global entity and they were dealing 24/7 with other banks. Probably not the best answer. I could have said something like, well, I don't know, they could go out and buy 1,000 more servers, but, you know, hey, I'm not Dell.
Okay. It would be impractical to expect customers to regularly visit banks or to connect to a website for regular upgrades to their mobile banking application. So what needs to be done to keep customer mobile devices secure?
Put them in a pile and smash them with a hammer. Okay, that won't work. The present methods of downloading the application is there to support phones that don't support true web browsing. When you go to connect to the bank automatically detects the fact that you're coming from a mobile device and then tries to automatically download the latest, greatest version of whatever application that they support for their connectivity. It's kind of interesting. When I played around with this, it seemed like my bank was more interested in making sure that the presentation format was right on my iPhone than anything else. You know, make sure that the site is rendered in a way that makes it easy for the user to see what's going on. It didn't have any of the cool free offers or any of that other stuff. The interesting thing about that was is that I never left the safety of my browser, which is kind of an oxymoron in and of itself. I think in the future what you're going to see, and I think it's going to have to migrate to this either because of regulatory issues that may emerge where somebody says, well, you know, this is a terrible threat and we need to find a way to fix this, so let's pass a law. That always works. But I think some kind of a trusted third party that takes the responsibility of ensuring that the software and the transaction path itself is secure, something that the banks can offload it. Because the banks, if we look at what they've done in the past to deal with security, it's been the absolute minimum that they have to do legally, because they have other remedies that they use when they think fraud has occurred. And unfortunately, that usually winds up being a bad thing for whoever the vendor was that provided the service or provided the merchandise.
So what kind of ID management and authentication practices need to be put in place on the bank's end to assure the physical security of the customer's device hasn't been compromised?
Oh.
You touched on that a little when you said the bank can't differentiate between the user and the device.
Well, they can't right now. I mean, what we're talking about is something like a Turing test. Look at this picture. Is this the picture that you expected to see? If yes, you get to continue. If not, please let us know, and we'll stop this transaction. Lame is not the word for that. There's a number of words that strung together are probably not appropriate for a podcast, and lame is just the tamest of the ones I can come up with. I think being able to put something like a trusted platform module inside of whatever a mobile device is would go a long way. Now, granted, people have discovered ways or theoretical methods for defeating TPMs, but the level of effort required to defeat them is significantly higher than a click-through where somebody just looks at it and says, well, what's my PIN? 11111. Oh, okay. The other thing they can do, I think, is more behavioral, where they have to modify their fraud and abuse software. I've gotten calls from my bank saying, there's somebody in Istanbul that wants to buy 5 cameras. Is it you? It's like, no, haven't been to Istanbul and probably not interested in buying 5 cameras at one time. And this happens in real time, where the transaction is trying to be pushed through and the agency is calling us to find out if, in fact, the transaction is an authorized transaction. I think you'll see that kind of technology employed, but the problem is, how do you get out of band? Usually how that works is you get a phone call from somebody because somebody is using another device or using your credit card number somewhere else. So now your phone has been compromised. They're fraud and abuse. People call you on the phone, and they call you on the phone that you've compromised and say, is this an authorized transaction? Well, what's a criminal going to say? No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to steal from this stolen iPhone, so we'll just let it go, okay? No. The guy's going to say, yep. This is an authorized transaction. Please make it go through. Thank you very much, and hang up. They're relying on the device that's making the transaction to prove that the transaction is authorized, and they're counting on the human being on the other end to behave in a way that they expect that human to behave in. I'm a bad guy. I'm a criminal. It's like, hello? No, I'm not going to behave the way you want me to. I'm the bad guy, remember?
So along the same lines, what kind of encryption steps should be taken to ensure that data is secure whilst in transmission?
Well, something significantly better than WEP and WPA. I guess the once again, this is one of those questions where it's probably best to turn it around. What kind of encryption solutions should the handset manufacturers put in place to ensure that critical security information isn't compromised? Should this be part of a hardware module? Should it be something that's FIPS certified? Should they have to go through that kind of a certification if they're providing and ensuring that encryption is used to store information as well as protect the information? The cell phone manufacturers use a streaming cipher that's known to be broken. Now you overlay digital information on the digital channels, and what kind of encryption are they going to be using there? Well, you know, it's a serial transmission thing, so probably the same broken stream ciphers that they've been using. That's one of those things where the only way you're going to find out is through good testing program. Once again, how interested are the banks in really solving this problem, which is, in my mind, a questionable issue for them because they're relying on the handset manufacturers, they're relying on the operating system manufacturers of these things to provide that kind of security. In their minds, they're providing a service.
Do you think financial institutions and the mobile providers will team up someday for security purposes?
I think for mobile banking and the new financial transaction models that will be coming down the pipe, I think it's inevitable. As a matter of fact, I would say that it's a business requirement at this point because we're going to see more and smaller transactions through these handheld devices. I think this is where, if I'm in the banking industry, I'm not just looking at the traditional mobile banking model or the traditional online model of where, oh, here's my balance, I'm going to transfer some money over to TJX so that they can send me my merchandise, and we know how secure they are. And I think it's going to be more where you're walking in stores and you're using your handheld device to actually buy things, and you're buying little pieces of information as well, you know, because you go to find out what's the best restaurant around in the area. Well, that transaction costs 25 cents. Ding, you press a button and accept it. When ATMs came along, who thought that you would have to pay $2 a transaction to use any out-of-network ATM? So I think we're going to see the banks take advantage of that. And if they don't team with the handset vendors or even the software vendors at that point, I think what you're going to see is a public that, after they've been taken advantage of a couple of times, isn't going to want to have anything to do with it again. Look at how long it took for Wells Fargo to get their people back online after they went through their initial issues so many years ago with their online banking service.
So touching upon TJX, as mobile banking proliferates in the years to come, will it take a TJX-level incident before organizations and customers understand the risks of mobile banking?
And TJX changed consumer behavior how? TJX is still in business. They're thriving. as a corporation. They took a minor financial hit, and a month later, the consumers forgot all about it. Wait a little while, get online, you know, embrace the solution and just run with it. I think there's a couple of things that prevent a TGX-like incident from happening. A, you have to attack a bank pretty hard. You want to get money from a bank, the easiest way to do it is to rob them during the day. They have a lot of other checks and balances. And if you are going to engage in online theft, either the transactions tend to be from lots and lots of people and very small, or very large transactions with a lot of legwork to prep it. I think the diversity of platforms is going to be a problem for that too, where you won't be able to attack a population where 90% of the computers all run the same operating system. So I think that's going to be another issue that they have to get beyond. Am I saying that it's not possible for a TGX-like event to happen to a bank? No, clearly not. I mean, we have seen situations where the banks have had money taken from them online, but it's not common and it's getting harder. At least it's not made public as often as it used to be. I think I should probably say it that way.
And on that note, Mark, this has been a great discussion. Thank you so much for joining us today. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Sarah, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. You know, it'd be interesting to come back a year from now and have this discussion again and see what changes have been implemented to deal with mobile banking. So let's make a date. Come back in a year and let's chat.
Sounds good. I'd like to remind our listeners that you can visit searchfinancialsecurity.com at any time for more mobile banking resources, including an article on remote deposit capture. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.